G'day everyone and welcome back to the Draft Doctors. I'm your host this week, Stevie Fizz, and it's around this time of year, listeners, that we start picking up a lot of new listeners. People are hitting draft season and they discover the pod for the first time, and just want to say I think we were doing really well where we were, so you know, we can't stop people from listening, but there's other pods out there, that's all I'm saying. And keep going along to all the old listeners. We really like you guys. But yes, welcome to first Cam McLaughlin. You were missing last week and you're in lockdown, you know, which Queensland's hellhole at the best of times. Now you can't even escape it.
Yeah, that's right. There's one good thing that Queensland has going for it, and it's the sun. And I, yeah, can't even see it. Fantastic. Wow.
And the man from... Well, he's been everywhere lately, and the contact tracers are terrified about it. The Statesman, how are you?
Yes, I think I'd like to be now known as the former Adelaide Visitor Statesman, to be quite honest. Thankfully, yet to be banned from Twitter, but I've been trying really, really hard.
Yeah, so we're talking our top 30 AFL fantasy forwards this week. We've had a sneak peek at the ranks. There's been a lot of, ooh, there, you've got him there. And I think this is going to be probably good. We need a bit of discussion. We need a bit of flair, and we need a bit of abuse. So it's good you're back, Cam. We're going to start with Stato's list. So why don't you hit us with your top five? This might be the easiest part.
Yeah, it is. But I will say, actually finding where they should be in the top five was a problem. Now, if you hear some loud banging noises, I do apologise. That's just Trump's mob trying to get in, as he thinks I stole a lot of the votes from the ISO drafts. But there's a fair bit of action happening outside. It is the wet season and monsoon season up in Darwin, so there's a lot of thunder and lightning happening. But out of the top five, seriously, I found it really hard to decide who's one, who's two, who's three. One of the trades that didn't happen probably would have made it really easy to pick a number one, but I'm not convinced with the Western Bulldogs. So here are the five in order that I've selected. But to be honest, they could be anywhere, so they're all worthwhile being your F1s. And it's Sidebottom, Dangerfield, Dunkley, Martin, and Zorko.
Yeah, so I've actually got them in the same order. The one thing, wow, I do have, and I wanted to bring this up, is you've decided to leave Rowan Marshall out of your forward rankings.
Yes, absolutely. And the main decision here is when I do ranking, I never double rank. So I allocate a person in a position, and I ensure that actually gives a bit of structure to what I'm doing. So none of these forwards. So Dangerfield's not going to be my M13 as well. He's just F2.
Yeah, I just think you've gone the wrong way on this. Like, you know what I mean? Like, Rowan Marshall for me is, he's not, maybe he's not a top tier forward, but he's pretty damn close. I got him at F3, but I would never, you know, I'd much rather draft him as and play him in the forwards and then pick up Big O, Pruce, yada yada, rather than, yeah, Finlayson or whatever.
I'm not saying that if I don't draft a really good second ruck, especially if I get, you know, say a Tom Hickey late and he ends up being R1 at Sydney and just the main man and pumps out a good average of 82, that Rowan Marshall, who I have in my squad, I don't play in the forward line. But at the end of the day, he's a tier two ruckman. And if he's sitting there at round six and I haven't got a ruckman, I may take the punt on him. And therefore, at the moment, he's my ruck. What's your thoughts, Cam? Should he be in the forward or do you name him in the ruck?
Yeah, I've got him as a forward. I just think he's going to be a little bit more useful for you,
Cam,
as a forward.
Cam, can I just show you a bit of evidence?
Where did you go, Cam?
Exactly the same as Jono, actually, which worries me considerably. So Gorn, Grundy, ROB, Rowan Marshall, and Whitts. And I found that.
So there you go. There's a bit of evidence that you think he should be selected as a ruckman. You had him at R4.
Anyway, so moving right on.
No, Cam, if you're wrong, you've got to double down. That's where you get stuck back in.
Well, actually, you know what? I actually think there's value in ranking people twice.
Boom!
No.
You can't say that. So I have...
can't do it. You're not going to rank any of your forward mids in your midfield, are you?
No, of course not. No.
There you go.
Well, maybe I will this year, though.
Point Stato.
So Josh Dunkley as my first, for the opposite reason that you had Stato. I think it's really impressive that he played as a ruck forward. and he still averaged 96 BCV. I think that's... There's so much ceiling there and so much room for growth if he does actually get that midfield role. So I've got Dunkley at one, Danger two, Romar at three, Saidi at four. That was his career year, so a little bit of regression as a 31-year-old probably, but not too much. Still should be pretty good. And Dane Zorko rounding out the five.
Now, I'm not against Dunkley being F1 and the highest scoring forward, but there were too many mouths to feed this year, hence him being a ruck, for Christ's sakes. And you've got Lipinski as well. How are you going to keep him on your list? You've got Toby McLean, they've got no time. But then you add on Adam Treloar. How can you be so convinced? And if you are, who are the ones getting burnt on the other end?
Yeah, I actually think it's going to be Bont is going to cop a lot of the brunt, playing a different position, a little bit more forward. Can take a really good overhead mark. He's also got the height to play as a key forward. Back up Aaron Norton. I think it's more likely to be him seeing a chop out. I think Libber might see a little bit of regression as well. He had an awesome year last year, but he might see reduced minutes. With Dunkley, they wouldn't have fought so hard to keep him if they didn't want to use him. I think it was purely because of the situation with English not really standing up that they had to do something different, and they sort of tried to mimic the Sean Grigg of whenever that was, 2017.
Can I say, I honestly believe the only reason they didn't trade Dunkley is they weren't getting what they wanted for him, and if they hold on, they actually get more.
Okay, yeah, that'll be interesting to see next year. But that's my top five, so I leave out Dustin Martin from mine.
So he's just in at six then?
Yeah.
So, Stato, why don't you give us your 6 through 10?
Yes, Michael Walters at 6. Toby, I'm a fucking gun, Green at 7. Isaac Heaney at 8, and it feels low, but he's never taken that next level to look at a tier 1, to be honest. Chad Wingard, which needs a bit of reverse and form, but I think Hawthorn need to change some things up, and I think they will, at 9. And for the massive breakout, Connor Rose at number 10.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Cam. What have you got different there? Because I think there's going to be some hot takes here.
Yeah, so my Dusty is at 6. I've got Isaac Heaney at 7, so not too different. I've got Tom Phillips coming in at 8, followed by Isaac Smith, so the two swap wingers, and then Toby Green coming in at 10.
So where have you... I just want to talk about Michael Walters. I got him at 18. Where have you got him?
Mine's 11.
Yeah.
I see him sliding a fair bit.
I'm just on the total fade. I just don't see him getting back into that midfield.
Yeah.
Like the splits from when he missed the games in the middle of the year to and he was awesome in the first half. Don't get me wrong, I love Michael Walters. He's an amazing player to watch. You know, he'll be fantastic in that Fremantle forward line. I can't get behind him playing in that midfield.
For the people that kept their forward status, he is number 2 averaging forward last year. Number 2.
Yeah. Yeah, but when that happens, you don't just go down 6 spots. You go down, you become an F3 almost.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry, I disagree, gents. He is so important to that club, and they have got quite a few that need to develop, and the way you do that is have your good players around. I see Fife spending more time up forward than Walters does. Yeah. I think Mundy's the one on his last legs. How old is Walters?
30.
He's 30.
And he was a Ross Lyon boy. Like, you know what I mean? It all happened for him under Ross. Like, it's just...
What's the line?
What do you mean?
What's the scoring line? So if you got him at 18, and you've got him at 342, Cam, below George Hall and Smith, who's not even on the list anymore. What's your scoring line?
I was thinking 80 is pass mark for Walters.
Steve?
Yeah, I reckon really low 80s is best case scenario.
Like best case scenario. So let's go 83 is the line. So 83 is the average. Who wants to go a carton? I'm going above 83 average.
Steve, I know you're pretty hot on this, so...
Well, I'm not drinking, so it doesn't even matter.
Carton of...
A six-pack of kombucha or a four-pack.
Who drinks there that? Who drinks that? Yeah, exactly. Cam. Do I want to end up like Cam? Anyway, look, at that point, it's a total fade, right? Like, if you're going to put him past 10, it's just a total fade.
So, well, let's just have a challenge, like a general challenge.
Wet newspaper.
Yeah, wet newspaper. So 83
is the line. Do a kickflip, you pussy. We'll come back to that anyway. But you've got Rosie breaking out, and the Heen dog. I got the Heen dog at 12. I got a bit of concerns with his. The ankle.
Yeah.
Players often don't come back well with ankles.
Just look at Tom Scully. Went away, shit.
And
came
he
back,
has got
shit.
That spring, so yep. I'll wear that.
So we're pretty flexible on moving him up. And like, I'd be happy to move him up if he shows well in the preseason.
Yep.
But the Connor Rosie breakout, everyone loves Connor Rosie. What's the story? Is it just this is the year?
Yeah, he was super impressive in his first season. He was battling injuries last year, so just didn't get that midfield rotation that he was actually getting year one. But when he started to get better, they actually started to increase that role. So I only see that proving stepping up and natural development going into his third season. We're going to see an explosion. I don't know how big. It's why I was a little bit more conservative. If it all goes really well, I wouldn't be surprised to see him the sixth or seventh overall scorer. I think he's just out of that top six, but I think he's knocking on that door.
Yeah, I had him ranked 16th, and I thought that was really fair.
Yeah.
10th is pretty aggressive.
I'm just really high on him. Yeah, sure. I'm just going with it. He's the one to break out for me this year. There's a couple more that could break out. So we're talking your Corbels, your Butters type. But he's the one I just think is going to smash it through.
Yeah. Let's kick it through 11 to 15, unless there was something new glaring for you, Cam.
No. It's all good for me.
So 11, I had Tom Phillips, which I think is a little bit lighter than you guys. And probably the main reason for that, his sort of history is really only one good season. And he's top end in a high possession team was a 90. So I'm thinking if he plays on the wing at Hawthorn, he's just not going to get as much as he possibly could at Collingwood. So I'm thinking the high 80s, which is still for a forward is great, but I think he's more your F2 rather than possibly your F1. So I've got him at 11. I've got Isaac Smith, and to be honest, I felt a little bit uncomfortable having as high as 12. Be interested to see what Cam thinks his role's going to be at the Cats. But it probably shows where the depth of real talent we've got in the forward line here. So they start to get a little bit iffy when you're actually talking about can they put a consistent season and high-scoring effort. And that's why Connor actually got to 10, because I looked at all those and going, if he does break out, like I expect he will, I'm saying he's leaping frog all these guys because they're easy to leapfrog.
So you mean like, say, if you went the other way, you could go from 6 to 20 in a heartbeat?
Yeah, but this is people that are going to average well and truly over 83. I mean, I was...
You can't have it one way.
I was willing to put 10 bottles of bloody Dom Perignon on it, but you wouldn't even go a four-pack of Remedy Kombucha. So I'm pretty strong on what I think that Walters is still in that top bracket. And then I've got a good personality, Tom Lynch, at 13.
Personality?
Oh, personality.
Is that the new missus? Personality?
No. There is actually, there's no new misses, but we won't get started on that. Jack Martin, I've got at 14, and Jordan DeGoey, I've got at 15. Now, there is the potential that DeGoey can really break out with the changes to the list, but I think they still desperately need a goal scorer. So I just thought maybe they limit the time in the midfield, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's a clear top 10 forward.
Mm. My biggest difference here, I think, just in this five, you had Chad Wingard sitting at 9, and I've dropped him down to 15. I don't see why they would, like, how he's going to improve on his last season. I think it's probably pretty, and I actually think he probably overperformed last year. So
I wouldn't think anyone that owned him would have thought that Chad Wingard overperformed.
Well, you wouldn't think so, right? And so there were times throughout the year where you're like, he's, especially considering last preseason, everyone was really high on him. He was like top five in everyone's rankings. And yet when I look at his average now of 83, I'm like, shit, I actually thought he was much lower than that. And I reckon I'm thinking he's more an a 78 average kind of guy.
The problem is here that when you're talking about Walters and Wingard dropping right back, there's actually someone that needs to score more than them. And that's where the actually problem is this year. So you're talking Whitfield, Petrarca, Greenwood, Brayshaw, Akers, Devon Smith, Jai Simpkin, all out, Bailey Smith, Jack Stevens, they're all out of this mix, which actually, Brad Ebert all in front. So Chad Wingard was the sixth highest averaging forward this year once you take those guys out.
Yeah. So for me, though, I think he drops back, and that's because guys like Shai Bolton, I think Tom Lynch, good personality Tom Lynch comes up, and I'm pretty keen on Jordan DeGoey this year. I reckon he might get that opportunity, and just because he can score goals, he might go forward, but he'll probably play more mid.
Where did you have him?
Jordan DeGoey at 12. Yep.
I think that's the thing you see with these guys is you're trying to predict role, and it's not always sticky, and often it takes an injury. Like, look at Jai Simpkin, even his teammate Jed Anderson, Ben Cunnington goes down. Well, they get all the opportunity in the world. Now, maybe Simpkin had that anyway, but the scoring probably wouldn't have been the same. And even if it happens at the start of the year, it doesn't happen at the end of the year. Like Correct. We saw with guys, they get injured, they come back, they got a different role, a new team, blah, blah, blah. I like the guys who can, like Heaney, who can play forward and score well, which is what I think Chad Wingard can do. Guys in better teams, obviously, are going to be better at that. So it's pretty interesting. I'm probably not as keen on Ugly Tom. Good Personality Tom. He's just a little bit down.
For me. But I got,
and probably the one I've got higher is Jack Martin. I've got him at 8, and I'm looking at Carlton being a bit better this year.
Better? I agree.
I think that's only going to be good for Jack Martin's output.
No, that's fair. I had really high hopes on him this year. It didn't really pan out, to be honest. I think he's on the second page. Yeah, so he was 26 this year. So I was expecting a bit more, to be honest, and it's probably why I've got him a little bit lower. But I've still brought him up from 26 to 14.
Yeah, that's fine. What do you got, 16 to 20?
I've got Kane Lambert, and it's probably going a little bit back in history, but I think yet again this probably shows where this raw scoring talent is missing from this line this year. I've got Jamie Elliott at 17. Now Jamie just had those spurts in the midfield that really pumped up his scoring last year, so he showed a lot of potential. Now whether that happens all year is question mark, so he's sort of floating in that sort of middle region depending on what happens for them. I've got Jai Caldwell at 18, and I understand people are going to be a lot hotter, but I want to see it first. I just don't really know what's going to happen with that Essendon group, to be honest. I think he's quite capable, but I don't know if he's ever going to be an elite fantasy scorer. I think he's going to be a better footballer. At a Hatley and Caldwell, I think Hatley is the one that showed more fantasy chops so far and did in his junior career too. I've got Shai Bolton at number 19, and it pained me that he's this low and it's just working out whereabouts and when the midfield time sort of happens. But Zach Butters at 20.
So two of those. One I didn't have ranked until just before we started recording, and that's Kane Lambert. I've dropped him down to 27, and he was much lower than that. I have a really horrible feeling that he's going... The flip of Shai Bolton is going to be the death of Kane Lambert. So I think it's just one to watch out there for. And the other... Yeah, go on.
Just a really quick question on that, because I did the midfield ranks this morning, and some of them are ugly too. There's some clubs there without genuine good scoring, AFL scoring midfielders. But tell me your best six midfielders at Richmond, because when I was doing the midfield ranks, I was going, I don't know who's in there.
But he's not.
And that's why I think Lambert. That's why I think Lambert, who's sort of proven and went in there a few times this year, and Shai Bolton are still going to be quite relevant while they've got forward status.
Can I just bring up that on Richmond? Like, we see often with sporting leagues, and I don't think AFL is any different, that there's a copycat factor. Once a club's successful at a strategy, other clubs try to implement it. Richmond have been dominant in real football, but absolute pus for fantasy, aside from maybe a few guys in the back line. Is there a worrying trend that that's going to start filtering through other clubs?
So I was doing Brisbane for the kit today, and they had something like three players average over 90 or something, and then a massive gap, and then the majority of them under 70. So they're the closest to the Richmond copycat at the moment. And they're also using like really high kicking numbers and really good clearance numbers to get off the back of that, but low possessions.
But they've got a host of midfielders. So when I was doing the ranking, all of a sudden there were six midfielders for Brisbane. I'm going, someone's missing out here.
Yeah, correct. But again, they're not sort of all scoring in that elite category. There's only sort of Lyons, Neil.
No, but that was my point with Richmond, is you actually got to look at who's got defender status, who's got forward status, because they need someone in there.
Yeah, at the moment it's looking like, and you'd think this year's the year that they blood a few people from the draft a couple of years ago. So Riley, Collier, Dawkins and Thompson, Dow probably get a run. But they'll run...
No Dows allowed.
No Dows. I think it'll be... if I was to have a guess and answer your question, it's probably Trent Koch and Dion Prestia. I think they'll probably run Jack Ross through there a lot more. It'll be Shai Bolton, Jack Graham, and Dusty will probably fill the last. That's my guess. And I think they'll use Kane Lambert forward.
I got Bolton at 14. I'm okay on Bolton. I think he's got that burst. Yep. He can score marks, tackles, goals, kicks, across the board.
The other one that I didn't have that you have, Stato, is Jamie Elliott. Completely unranked. Because he scored, so his average when adjusted for BCV is 70.9, and that was off a season that, one, he played a lot of the year. Usually he's been really quite flimsy with injuries, but two, he was in the midfield a lot. He was like 10 CBAs a game, and I just can't see how that would grow more, even with Treloar leaving.
So I'm just going along to the game log. So we're talking the first half of the season, he had a 27, a 43, 36, 46, 41, 57 and a 55. That's the first half of the season. But then he started moving into the midfield and his actual game time started to go up too. So there must have been some reason why he was slow to start. So we're talking in shortened games. He was at times getting 50 and 60% game time. So that's you managing the player. But at the second half of the year, he started going 65. This is the shortened game, 65, 72, 103, 69, 60 and 58. So I'm just thinking, right, Treloar's gone. They liked him in the midfield. Every time they interviewed Buckley after he played well in the midfield, they were saying he's giving us something different. So I think he's a 50-50 split forward and midfield, and that's one of the people that are going to pick up that time. As long as he's fit, I think he's got some opportunity. So he might be a really good late grabber in your draft if you guys are going to rank him really low.
I got him at 28. I don't want to pin my hopes on a 29-year-old injury-plagued dude.
Yeah.
In a,
that's fair.
Who should be a forward, really. Bucks, he just likes the look of that number five. Got no idea. What do you got beyond 20, Stato?
Tom Papley, who...
Oh, yuck. Come
yeah,
on. Yeah. Fucking Homer.
Yeah. Yeah. So Tom Papley, I've got at 21. And this is just the depth issue here, guys. Sam Powell-Pepper, who's a bit of a sometimes yuck, depending. And I just reckon he gets little bursts, and that's going to be about it, because Connor and Zach are going to get more opportunities than him. Jack Gunston, which I sort of was like a wet dog. I sort of shook myself after I wrote that one down. Jeremy Cameron, a little bit unsure what's going to happen in the forward line. So Jeremy would have been much higher if he was at GWS. Ben Ainsworth for the Gold Coast rounds out the 25.
I see a lot of guys with no upside is what I see. And Gunston, man, he was awesome last year. Like, he was really, probably one of the most underrated seasons.
You dropped him to the waiver wire in our keeper, and I picked him up.
Couldn't score. Like, that was as good as it gets for him. I don't know, man. I don't see much upside. Let's talk about Cameron, though, because he was, you know, big fall from grace.
Yep. Oh, man, I thought you were talking about me, and I'm like, what the fuck have I done?
You have no grace.
No grace.
To fall from.
Can't fall. Yeah, I actually have him as a unlucky to miss. I didn't rank him in my 30.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I have him at 26.
Yeah, but he's just out. See, I've got him at 31.
Yeah. It's really tough in this space. It really is, because even everyone that I've got in that next five coming afterwards, I've got an argument against that they're going to lose opportunity.
Yeah. For me, like my next one, so I Langford at 20. I reckon he's probably set for a bit of regression. I don't know if people have noticed, but he's gotten a free 82 from that bye round in his average. So, I mean, bring it down just a little bit more as well. Brian Myers, Zach Bailey, Tom Hawkins, and actually Peter Laddams in there as well.
Why?
Laddams, yeah. Really?
No, all those guys, like, why? I can see Laddams, but he's not going to be starting ruck. Like.
No, of course not, but he wasn't last year, and he still popped out 77.8 average.
It's pretty. So miles behind the pride.
Behind the pride, that's right. But, I mean, Zach Bailey, he had a great year. Like, really good year. And even though he's got mid-forward status, I'm actually expecting him to play back at defence. He was awesome when he was running off defence up through the wing. So I don't see a reason why that's not a good pick. Do you guys have...
Are the scores going to be there?
I mean, again...
Still got Birchall, still got Rich.
76.8 last year. It's pretty handy, man.
Feels more broadbent than breakout.
Ooh.
No, he's not. I'm not saying he's broadbent. I'm just saying... And he might be capped.
Yeah, I don't think he'll be capped. I think that's probably about where I'd like to draft him. And yeah, Tomahawk at 23, I think I've got him.
Yeah, I don't think any of us talked about it. I got him at 21, the Hawkins. Stato, you haven't got to him yet, so you're obviously expecting a bigger drop than us.
I just don't know what's happening in that forward line, and Cameron's the main reason. So if Cameron was the main man, I'd probably have him in the top 20.
Jeremy Cameron.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Hawkins would be almost... it's a total fade at that point.
Mm.
I still think he gets enough of the ruck work inside 50 and kicks enough goals to make him valuable.
You'd have to think teams start stopping him grabbing that out of the air. Like, he just grabs it out of the air and kicks a goal. Often.
But I don't think you'll get him in the 20s where we've got him ranked in many drafts.
No, you're right. People will draft him closer to his average, I think.
Yeah. So, Stato, why don't you run us through the last five on your list, and then we can talk about some omissions.
Yeah, it's Langford. So that's a sort of that taste in your mouth. You need to scrape your tongue. Bailey Scott. Now, someone in North Melbourne will get some opportunities. I just don't know who. There are games where he's really stood out. Higgins played a lot of outside, and Bailey Scott got some opportunities to play that outside mid. So I think he's the one that takes a wing spot at North. So I think he's got some real upside. I just didn't know how confident I was that he's going to give consistency of good scoring. But I think he's a late draft hopeful, to be honest. Brian Myers, who his average and his performance suggests he should be higher. I just don't know what's happening with Geelong. But a lot of additions. I just think the opportunities for him to spend a bit more time as a high half forward versus get a rotation through the mid is just gone with the list model that they've got. So I just found it hard to push him up. Dan Butler, I just tried to put a little point from what he achieved in the first half of the season to what he's done for his rest of his career and say, look, maybe that was, you know, I wasn't able to get a position on Richmond's list. I'm going to stick it to them. You know how you get that really burst of energy? So the chip. I'm putting it, the chip on the shoulder. So that's why I've got Butler a little bit lower than what he pumped out last year. And then Tom Hawkins. There's no doubt his performances the last couple of years, he deserves to get some recognition. I think Geelong are going to be a very good team, but I think they've got a couple more targets now. So it sort of changes the way the structure might be, rather than being just the main man they're kicking to. So I'm thinking he'll just lose a few of those opportunities.
Cam, what do you got?
So mine roll out with, I've got Jack Gunston, 25, Rayner, 26, Lambert, 27, Sam Powell-Pepper, 28, Bailey Fritch at 29, and Harry Schoenberg at 30.
So you've just put that in for a bit of pepper, a bit of hot sauce.
I actually think he's going to be really good. Really, really good.
That's a big jump.
It's a big jump from obscurity and playing eight games in the season to being in the top 30 forwards, absolutely. But I'd just like to call out his round 17 game against the Blues where he, you know, scored an AFL fantasy ton, showed a lot of maturity. And, you know, 21 disposals, four marks, five tackles, that's the kind of grunt that they probably need in that midfield, and I think he'll probably get a lot of opportunity there, and probably the only year that you get him as a mid forward split as well.
If you've got that theory on one really good game, why didn't you put Nick Blakey in your top 30?
Nick Blakey is a unlucky to miss, very close.
I think the biggest one that's unlucky, but we've got to just prove that he's got a role, is Lachie Fogarty. Might be in the top 10 forwards this year. If he goes in and actually plays an inside mid role, well, Kennedy was there for most of the year.
Ooh. Yeah.
Setterfield, Kennedy. Well, Lachie Fogarty is a ball magnet.
Yeah.
Lachie Fogarty's been waiting for an opportunity and just never got inside. So him, Constable, I reckon they could be playing inside mids at most. So I put him at 44 going, you know, do I take the punt and put him at 12 just below Tom Phillips? He's got the potential. It's a risky call, but he has the potential to do it.
I think this is the point where I like to grab my defenders and fill out those middle defenders and just throw darts at all these sort of guys at the arse end of the draft, hope one or two of them stick like a Simpkin did last year, and then you've made up a lot of ground in a bit of a wasteland, let's say. But often these guys, like I would say, I'm with you on Lachie Fogarty, but I looked at that team and I went, he needs an injury first to someone else, if that makes sense. Because I remember having this conversation. Cam. No, well, I remember having this conversation about Darcy Langstado.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Sometimes it presents itself, sometimes it doesn't.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's that's life.
And, I agree with your comment, though, around just sort of throwing the dart and that lottery pick. Because, I mean, you look at someone like Aaron Hall, or you look at someone like, you know, Matt Taberner, or you look at Tom Papley, you kind of know what you're going to get with those guys. But I'd probably prefer to, you know, take a punt and see if you can get someone that's going to average in the top bracket or in the top.
So who do you have missing? Who do you have on your list that Stato didn't, Cam? Or have we touched on them all already?
Yeah, Cam Rayner, I think, was the one. I don't think Stato had him on his top 30.
I had him at 37. Yeah.
Cam Rayner, I think it's probably going to be slower than this year, but I still think he'll see a tick up in scoring. But he's going to see... Him and Zorko are essentially going to do like a role share over the next couple of years, where Zorko will play a bit more forward, Rayner will play a bit more around the contest. And it, I mean, 67 still was serviceable, and you're only going to pay an F5 for him anyway. So there's plenty of upside.
My issue with him, he started showing some really good signs this year, but they brought in even more midfielders, let alone the ones that they're trying to develop from within. So Devin Robertson and co, who needs to start getting some time, high-quality talent. If he rolls into his third season, he's not getting an opportunity, he may be looking elsewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. But, I don't think they would, especially for someone like Cam Rayner, a top draft pick, they're not going to sacrifice that midfield time for Devin Robertson. You know,
I just don't see him getting more midfield time than he did this year.
Okay.
So I think he'll get some.
Yep.
I don't think there's any doubt, because he showed the little bursts that he can do well. But I just don't see him getting a big upswing.
Okay.
I got him at 23, and I'm just a bit cagey about the longer games not suiting him.
Mm.
Seems like someone who could spend a bit of time on the bench.
And with the fewer rotations, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
Guys,
can I mention...
Can
I mention three that would have been previously in the top 10 and maybe top 20 at times, but you're talking over the years. So Darcy McPherson.
Well, he lost the role. But this is my point on guys like fucking Michael Walters.
Are we fucking... Sorry, we're comparing Darcy McPherson and Michael Walters. There's a major talent difference.
Yeah, I understand that, and that's fine. But one guy can kick four goals off his left peg and still be relevant. It's, once you're out of there, it's a big slide. It's not three spots.
Yeah, no, I've got no worry about it. Let's go back to the 12 bottles of Dom. at 50... At 50 and 51.
Wait, does wine come in bottles?
sorry. Should have talked cardboard. So 50 and 51, I've got Tom Lynch and Toby McLean.
Is he, how much of the season is he missing? Toby McLean?
Don't know.
I think it's a lot.
Is it really?
Yeah, let me... I'll double check you, but you boys talk about stuff.
I've got a few players who are on my list who Stato didn't have on his. Just sorry, I don't want to spoil your chat. I got the great man at 22.
Lance Franklin.
Number one on the GWS list, number one in your hearts, Jesse.
Oh, I've also got him just missing. I think it's a good pick.
You can't tell me you don't think GWS are bouncing back, and he's just going to be getting some good delivery.
How many times does a bloke have to burn you before you go, I'm not putting him on my list again?
More times.
I wish him well, but I don't want any part of it. I don't want to own him.
Mate, he could be a top 10. Could win the Coleman. Get on it. Money
Michael,
in the bank.
Michael Walters.
I'll take all the money I make.
And average 118.
Day trading.
I'll
all the money I make day trading weed and putting it on him for the Coleman. Fucking doesn't get any better than that.
Toby McLean did an ACL 4 months ago. So he's probably gone for a lot of the year.
Well, I might just roll out 51 and just disappear.
I've actually got Matt Tabner at 29. I think he can take a lot of marks.
Where did I have him? I had him 40.
I think if you've got J-Lo come across from Collingwood, heavy possession game plan, developing midfield, he's the hit-up guy, lobs in the goal square, I can see a world where he's relevant on a week-to-week basis, especially if Fremantle improve.
Yeah.
And I got Handsome Tom at 30. Key forwards obviously got smashed this year. The year before, he was playing, you know, off no preseason, coming to a new club. If Richmond are going to be a good team again, longer quarters are going to suit better teams because they're going to beat up in the extra time. Good player like Tom Lynch should be able to kick a few more bags.
I think key forwards also slid last year. So not just 2020. 2019, there was only about three people in the top 20. Last year, it was even worse, with basically Tom Hawkins and then the next best being Peter Laddams. I found it really...
Laddams got there through ruck time as well.
Oh, absolutely. And then so if you take Laddams out, then the next best was actually Tabner. And that's at an average of 72. Like, for me, I find it really hard to rank key forwards. And it's why people like Jeremy Cameron for me just missed. Why Tabner for me just missed. Why Jesse Hogan for me just missed. Just because the relevance and the ability to score is so dependent on goals, which are becoming, you know, harder and harder to get, and goals are coming from more players. Like, it's just not a key forwards game as much anymore.
I don't look at Tabner and Hogan specifically like that.
Yep.
Like, they're guys who can average seven marks quite easily. Handsome Tom, more a key forward. But I'm looking at the good teams.
Yeah.
Give me the good teams. And just because you rank them at 25 and 30 doesn't mean you have to draft them there.
Yeah, like, true.
These guys might be around 16 picks.
Yeah.
Well, I'll take a shot at that.
Yeah, absolutely. I've got two later that I think have actually got the potential to break out, but I didn't want to put my neck out too much. One is Battle, so Josh Battle at St Kilda. And the other one is Will Haywood at the Swans. He just showed it a few games where he had a bit of a change-up role that he's got some tricks, that boy, Will Haywood. And if they start to actually put him through the midfield or play him off half-back, it could be something really special.
Mm. Right first name.
Yeah.
Not the right surname.
Yeah.
Will Brody.
Yeah, I didn't rank him.
That's coming with the team. Four key forwards and Will Brody. Fantasy premiership.
Premiership forward line.
Well, I think there's a lot of debate there. I'd be interested to see what the listener reaction is to all this. So you're just going the total fade of key forwards, Cam?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Not even late?
They're sort of sitting in my between either 30 and 40 or 40 and 50 in that range.
Yeah. Can't be a bad plan.
Yeah.
So, is there anything else we want to talk about this week?
Nah. No, I think that's it, mate.
Any questions?
Oh, yeah, there were shitloads of questions, actually. Thanks, Cam.
I gotcha.
I knew you were here for something, not just your drinks. Stato's boy, we got big cocks. Hypotheticals. If you, Ultimate Footy RIP, give forward status to the following players, whereabouts do you rank them? Tracker, Rowbottom, Parrish, Libba, Lunchmeat. Not sure how Libba gets any. Not sure how any of them get it. But
no, they don't. Rowbottom, did he only play midfield, Cam?
Yeah, he was stuck in the mid.
Obviously, if Tracker does, but in no way, shape or form does he deserve it. I would probably argue that he deserves to be anywhere 2, 3, and 4. So in a world where it's midfield time only, I think he would be behind Steele, Danger and Dunks, and I'm not saying that order, so I'd probably have him at 4. The rest of them, not high.
I like Rowbottom still.
Yeah, but he looked really good, but he just didn't score.
No time.
Still also in his second year, right? I think there's opportunity for him, you know, as a late draft speculative in your midfield, on your bench.
Did he make the top 50, mate?
Oh, probably not. Wouldn't have been close. But I'd put him, you know, when we come to our midfield ranks, I'd absolutely have him somewhere.
80?
Yeah, I'm 70-something with Rowbottom.
How deep are we going in our midfields?
Oh, I've done 80.
Okay, yeah, he'll be in the top 60.
And can I say Will Brody didn't make the 80 either.
Oh. Did he make the top 80 forwards?
No.
He's got forward status.
I only went to 50.
Oh, you wouldn't rank him as a midfielder anyway, right, Stato?
Yes.
That's exactly right. But I just wanted to labour the point with Steve.
I hate these questions anyway. Ninja Spoon asks, so the AFL fantasy lads are talking up Fife as a potential DPP forward, worth the risk and just punt forwards.
No. As we've talked about before, we were getting to the mid-teens and we're starting to talk ugly. So Jamie Elliott made it to 17 for me. Kane Lambert, 16, and some of the boys, no, I think it was Cam said, well, Lambert can fuck off. And then we're taking punt on blokes that should break out in Caldwell, Butters. I think Steve went a bit ugly with my Papley call, but then it was getting really ugly after that. In other words, you're getting two good forwards and then you're throwing darts after that.
Yeah. I also think with Fife specifically, when he does split more time forward, so rounds, I think, 13, 14, actually 13 through to the end of the season, it's a bit of a yo-yo effect. Like he the variance in his scores starts to go through the roof, and he gets, you know, I'm pretty cagey on Fife in general next season, even if he does get forward.
This is the first year I would say that you need to take two forwards probably in the first five rounds.
If the top 10 are still there. Like I wouldn't take a second forward if you miss out on those.
Not to labour the point, but this is why you don't do it. If he plays forward, you're waiting 6 weeks for him to get it. And if he's playing forward, he's not scoring as well as if he's playing in the midfield. So you are behind your competition and it is harder to make finals. Next question. Sorry, Stato.
Yeah, with draft, you just don't play those silly games because it hurts.
Yep. Ben asks, Dunkley, oh, also Dunkley. Cam's obviously hot. Stato and myself had him at, well, I had him at 4. Stato had him at 3, but with no Marshall. So same spot, theoretically.
Yep.
So we all like it.
Only because the risk. If he was at Essendon, I'd have him at 1.
Yeah. Phil, thoughts on Nick Blakey as a late round pickup?
Yes, like it. Dude, yep. I really do. I think I had him overall at 44, but I like Haywood, like Josh Battle, and there was someone, Fogarty. Throw a dart because one of those are going to come off. Maybe two or three of those will come off. Schoenberg was mentioned by Cam as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Taylor asks, if you can pick your draft position, is it better to have your first pick at number 8, 9 or 10 so you get an immediate back-to-back pretty much, or a higher pick to select the better player but you have a longer gap between your first and second pick?
I actually like, so far from what I've seen late in the first round, so go the bang-bang. And it's only because when I'm doing the midfield rank after the COVID year, I'm going, ooh, there's some ugly choices early that just wouldn't be this high if we were doing it after a normal year. So I think that you've got an opportunity to settle down, let everyone take the bloody hype and actually make some really good picks. So I reckon you could be able to get Jack McRae at pick 8 this year.
Like it. Sultans ask, thoughts on Isaac Rankin, particularly for a 12-man keeper league?
Ooh. Cam, you're the reigning champion.
Yeah.
Not that you had to beat much in the grand final. Oh. Didn't have a 200-point captain score. And surprise, surprise, he fucking loses.
Isaac Rankin, probably not. Very exciting to watch. I think he's not going to be a very good fantasy scorer.
Sorry, when I said 12-man keeper league, are they talking 12 teams or just 12 keepers?
I've just assumed 12 teams with 12 keepers each.
Yeah, so if you expand it and just say it's you got 30 on your list and you keep 15, the half model I always like, and 12 teams, he's actually just on the verge then of keeping because he's only going to get better and better. So, yeah, it depends on what your balance is. If you've got no forwards when it's really thin, and that's always getting your balance right in the keeper, if you've got no other forwards and Isaac Rankin's your best one, then yes, keep him, because as we've been talking about, there's not a lot to pick from.
Crackers asks, should I ignore Sidebottom and Dangerfield and go with Marshall, F1, in his keeper league?
If he's got a good R1, why not?
I would still just do it. It sounds to me like that's
a draft.
That's first draft of a keeper, yeah. And I'd take Romar over those two for sure.
Fucking oath I would, Jesus.
Yep.
Oh, over Sidey and Danger.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, shit, yeah. Because, and the great thing is right now, it won't be for long, but right now he's got dual position. And understand the keeper, he's not a forward for you for life. He's probably a forward this year.
And then a ruck, a very, very good ruck one.
Yeah. Yep.
God, his scoring as a forward was off the charts.
Yeah, super good.
Oh, my God. Crackers asks, we can't do that. Mini Monk asks, are we punting forwards or are we punting forwards?
No, we're not. No,
we're not actually.
We've got to fucking grab them early.
I don't like it, but we're not punting it this year, unfortunately.
I mean, look, there's an element of punting, right? So you're going to punt from round 4 to round 16. There's no way there's anyone that you're going to draft as a forward in that gap.
Yeah, I reckon there is.
What?
Yeah. Guys like Shai Bolton will be in there.
Oh, you reckon? Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay.
If you think about it, like the top 5, Sidebottom, Danger, Marshall, Dunkley, Dusty.
And Zorks.
One of those will make it to round 3.
I'm still...
Probably 2.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I actually, because if you look at defenders as well, like I think it's probably going to be more midfielders that make it later than the forwards, the top forwards or the top defenders. Going to be a key position round 1, 2, 3 draft this year.
I reckon one of them will make it to round 3 in 10-team drafts. Probably Zorko.
I just realised your keeper league looks pretty shit, Cam.
Does it really?
Yeah, it actually does. Your defence looks superb, but how many of the defenders are you actually going to keep? You've got, after Dusty, who's how old now? Turning 30. Him and Tom Hawkins are the only two you got left in your ruck line. And you've got, in your midfield, you've got Sean Higgins, Jed Anderson, Dan Hannabury, Matthew Kennedy, Ed Curno, and Sam Menegola, all which might not play next year, basically. Oh, Lukey Dunstan, no, that's good. That's your first midfield reserve, so he's looking good for game time. Warpool, no, he'll be good. So you got Warpool and Isaac coming, so that's probably about it.
So, Stato, this is the price of a premiership, Stato. The price of a premiership. I'm going into full rebuild after last year. Win the cup, not good for the next 40 years.
your defense is freaking awesome, though, mate. But you can't keep 6 players in your defenders when we only keep 12.
Well... You'd think you couldn't. You'd think you couldn't.
Put a case of Pinot on that.
Yeah.
I just want to know, out of Haynes, Stewart, Short and Ridley, who you're cutting?
No, legitimately I'm keeping 6 defenders.
Oh, wow. You're tricky now.
There's nothing like drafting to trade. That's all I can say. I'll be able to get the world for this person.
Y'all have seen straight through my cunning plan. Damn it.
Hoddle. 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 To the moon with Cam's defense. All right, thanks for tuning in. We'll check you next week with our AFL Fantasy midfielder rankings. My goodness. Jono, get back soon.
Thanks for listening to the Draft Doctors Podcast. For more tips and in-depth analysis, head over to thedraftdoctors.com.au.